This gospel, according to Matthew, and that's Matthew right there, is stark, filled with details. Details which make what happened those 2,000 years ago come alive. But so often, as much as we are struck in this beginning of Holy Week by that story, it so often can seem far away. You see this sometimes when we have the way of the cross in the streets of Toronto, or how it will be reenacted in the streets of Peterborough on Good Friday by the young people. And it's distant and it's safe, because a passion, a struggle, a suffering that is at a distance is always safe. Nobody wants to really spend any more time than they have to on the front pages, seeing the horrific gas attacks in Syria. How many of us don't want to think about what happens in places like Somalia, etc.? We flip the page, we click to go on to another website, we turn the channel or turn it off. We do the same thing in our own society. It's not just the passions that happen overseas or at a distance. We don't want to think about abortion, whether in our own hospital, or the sick or the elderly being killed one by one, picked off with the so-called mercy killing. No, we don't want that. And it's also true in people suffering. The last thing you really want anybody to answer when you say, how are you, is to tell them, how are you, right? And that's not easy. It's not. So we either look away or we try to pretty it up. Look at these beautiful windows of the agony in the garden. And you can see the apostles, the sons of Zebedee, John and James up here, and there they are, nice and neatly nodding off to sleep. It seems so prettified, so cleaned up. And even that spectacular crucifixion window that we have over there seems the same way. There's even flowers coming up as the signs of hope. But it wasn't like that. It's never like that, is it? The suffering that people undergo is not pretty. Whether it's something obvious and physical, or even more difficult if it's internal, it's not pretty at all. And one of the worst things about suffering is how isolating it is. Isn't that true? It's hard to suffer. It is. That's why, you know, that sort of blasé indifference of the apostles, those closest apostles that just went off and fell asleep while our Lord was having his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, should strike us. Or the fact that people really didn't know what was going on, and even more, they didn't seem to care. And there he was, arrested, and they all got frightened and ran away. That way that Peter just sort of kept denying Christ, and he denied him to a servant girl, that tough fisherman who still had the calluses from the nets, and he denied him just sort of because it was the easy thing to do. It's hard to have suffering because it feels that everyone can be away at suffering, even God. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's not just that Jesus was speaking those words from the Psalms that he knew by heart, that he'd had every day since he was a child. He felt that to the very depth of his being, and you must feel it sometimes too. There's times, whether large or small, that we feel that depth of isolation, even despair. Oh, the rest of the psalm goes on. It goes on to reaffirm, even in the midst of that suffering, the certainty and the belief of Jesus Christ, because that's what separates us from non-believers. It makes a difference if we believe. It does. It isn't just the fact that, oh, you believe this and I believe that. This is what we believe. We believe that in the midst of suffering, in the midst of joy, in the midst of problems, in the midst of play, Jesus Christ is always with us, always with us. And it can be a tough time to walk with Jesus. It really can. Those 3 years that not just the disciples, but those women who followed him walked on the hills, well, they got better and better, didn't they? And the crowds got bigger and bigger. And the Sermon on the Mount, I was there. That's a big area to be filled with 5,000 men, not counting women and children, as it says in the Gospel, and to be welcomed into Jerusalem. We have a model of Jerusalem here from the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd. I was there too. Open wide the doors, and in he comes. In he comes to take his city. And then it all goes flat. We see that in life all the time. Not just the dramatic ways, you know, just not just the falls of those people that are elevated in the eyes of the world, but even in our own world. And that's why the church does Holy Week the way it does. That's why it ricochets from high to low, from this great celebration and procession that will herald the procession of all the nations into Jerusalem at the end of time, to boom. Here we have a reading of the gospel. No candles, no sign of the cross, flat. And it's meant to be, because we go back and forth. At the Chrism Mass that will be celebrated tomorrow, the only Mass that will be celebrated in the whole of the diocese, we celebrate the priesthood and we celebrate the gifts that are given to us by the power of the Holy Spirit when the bishop blesses the oils. And then on Holy Thursday, when we are able to recognize that great gift of the Lord who became humbler yet in service to give him himself, give us himself in his body and blood, that's remarkable. But then, boom, we take out the Blessed Sacrament of the churches and we leave it bare. And we leave it bare so that we can understand that even though that presence, the real presence, is gone, Jesus Christ is always present to us. And then we have the vigil. And then we have the great celebration. Because we are not people given to despair. I'm going to be honest with you. I do not know how atheists or agnostics do it. I've been around with a lot of people. As a priest, you're around with people's joys. You really are. You're around with people's wonderful times, the great celebrations, and I've been with them at the worst of the times, too. When Father Bill or myself or Father Eric go up to the hospital, as we often do, to anoint somebody, the prayers of anointing of the Sacrament of the Sick emphasize that Jesus Christ is present. And sometimes we may feel that. Sometimes we may know it. And sometimes it may be very hard to hold on to. Those women who followed Jesus did not just follow Jesus to the cross. They followed him to the tomb. You know, when you look up at the altar here, at the painting of the crucifixion, it's hard to even see who is at the foot of the cross. But that's Mary Magdalene at the foot of the cross, and she's there too. We hardly ever see her face, and do you know why? Traditionally, we're told we hardly ever see her face so that our face can be there too. So that we can, in effect, project onto her those who will follow Jesus even to the tomb. Now, we know something different. We know that the resurrection is happening. In a few moments, we'll celebrate that certainty of the presence of Jesus Christ. But this is the message of Holy Week. The message is that in the midst of my life, in the midst of my Gethsemane and Golgotha, in the midst of yours, hold on to the certainty, to the power of Jesus Christ, who raises us up, not just at the end of time, but who raises up now, so that we too can be able to be those living stones to cry out to the power, to the certainty, and to the presence of Jesus Christ, who is the victor over all.